Words for Life today is by Pastor Rob Buckingham of Bayside Church in Cheltenham, here in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
Heaven is our home country. We are citizens, the Bible says, of heaven. And so wherever you go, you are a representative of heaven. Here on this earth, the Bible says that as Christian men and women, we are strangers. We are foreigners. The word is also used, aliens. We are aliens. We are living in a foreign country here on this world. Our citizenship is of another country. It is of heaven. One day we're going home, which is going to be wonderful. But in the meantime, we're here on earth as representatives of heaven on earth. That's why one of the prayers that Jesus gave us to pray was the Lord's Prayer. And as part of that prayer, he said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so where we come from, where our real birthplace is, where our citizenship is from, is heaven. We have a dual passport or dual nationality. You know, we're from Australia, but more importantly, we're from heaven. And one day I'm looking forward to traveling on the heaven passport, because it's the only one that's going to get you into there. The only difference with the heavenly passport is when you flick it open to the main page, it's Jesus' picture there, not ours. Because it's because of him that we're allowed access into that place. And so everywhere you go, you're a representative of heaven on earth. Think about that in future. You know, sometimes we live more ordinary lives than we need to live because we don't live with that in mind. You know, we think of the sacred duties that we do, like gathering together like this and reading the Bible and praying, but then we have this other part of our life which is secular. And that's the bit that God's not really interested in a lot of Christians' thinking. But can I tell you, that's not biblical thinking. In Bible thinking, all the world and all of life is sacred. God invented work. Did you know that? Genesis chapter 1, God worked. His work was creation. And also in that chapter, he gave people work to do. He sanctioned work right at the very beginning. It is a sacred task. And so can I encourage you every day? My little prayer, I've shared this with you before, when I get up in the morning is, "Lord, I'm full of your spirit and I'm open for business." And so as you go out into your day, just remind yourself, like, "Lord, thank you that I'm an ambassador of heaven, that everywhere I go today, heaven is going to be represented. I pray that you will give me opportunities to be heaven on earth today." And that doesn't always mean speaking about Jesus to people either. Sometimes it means just doing a very good job in your workplace. It means being an excellent student at university or at school. It means being a polite person when you're going doing your shopping. It means not getting uptight and gnarly with people when they pinch your car spot. It means being courteous to the people that you deal with in the shops, and so on and so forth. Heaven on earth. One of my favorite programs years and years and years ago as a kid was Star Trek. Anyone else like Star Trek? Yeah? Any Trekkies here tonight? Yeah, it's a great show. And one of the bits I used to love was, you know, when they'd go down to a planet and then, when they were going to go down to a planet and they used to have to go into this little transporter and get transported down. And then after a little while, they'd, you know, flip open their thing like that and beam me up, Scotty. Remember that? And they'd stand there and suddenly that little beam of light would come down and the next thing, zip, and they were up there, you know, back in the Starship Enterprise again. Well, I see it a little bit like that, but in reverse here in Earth. It's like a portal of heaven opens up wherever you and I go, you know. And I know there are occasions when you're at work or wherever and you want to be beamed up, you know, beam me up, Jesus. No intelligent life down here, not today anyway, you know. But, you know, most of the time, there's a portal of heaven that is opened up wherever you are. Remind yourself of that. And everywhere you go and everything you do through the day, remind yourself you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ representing heaven on earth. That will change the way you look at life. It'll change the way you act and behave. Thirdly, everyone's a minister. Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Whatever you do for others, you do to me." Again, as we're going around in our community, being a blessing, helping, serving, encouraging people, we're actually doing it for Jesus. It's about everyone, everywhere, being everything that God has called us to be. And let me say, everyone is vital. Chelsea had a vision at the prayer meeting on Tuesday morning, the 9:15 prayer meeting, and she spoke it out. She said, "You know, I see the church like a jigsaw puzzle." And I thought, how true that is. You know, the church is like a jigsaw puzzle. Anyone here love doing jigsaws? It's a good winter activity, you know, on a wet, cold day and you don't want to go out anywhere and you open up this jigsaw puzzle and you get it happening And sometimes it takes hours and sometimes it takes days. You might leave it up on a table or some sort of space, and you come to it every now and then and you see another little thing that fits in somewhere. I used to love doing jigsaws, and you sort out all the pieces first. So you got all the corners and all the edges, and then you sort all the pieces into categories. And so if you've got a landscape one, for example, you've got a lot of blue sky and you've got a lot of grass. And you've got all these pieces that almost look the same. They're blue. And some of them have got a little wisp of cloud on them, which is great, because it's like, you're going to be able to get it in. And then you've got all these pieces with grass, and you think, my goodness, how many pieces with blue sky do I need? How many pieces with green grass do I need? But you find out as you do the jigsaw that you need all of them. Because I'm sure many of us have had this experience, I certainly have, where you finish the jigsaw and you find there's one piece missing. And it really, lets you down, doesn't it? And you want to show people the jigsaw, and they come up and they look at it, and all they see is the piece that's missing. He says, yes, but what are the whole thing? Yeah, but you got a bit missing right there. Ah, it doesn't matter. It's just a bit of blue sky. There's plenty of other sky. Look at the rest of the sky. Oh, no, there's a bit of sky missing. Very annoying, those sort of people. And very annoying, those pieces that are missing. And sometimes you might feel a little bit like, there's plenty of me around. I'm just another Christian. I'm just another person. And I turn up at Bayside and there's hundreds of people at Bayside and maybe they don't really need me. Yes, we do. Because if you're not here, you're the missing piece. And you might think there's a lot of people like you, like you're just a blue sky Christian or you're a green grass Christian. But every single one of you is absolutely and totally necessary and valuable. Everyone. Christianity is everyone going everywhere, doing everything that God has called you to do. I want to give you three examples of influence in the Bible. Let's go together to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up at verse 14. And Paul says here, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. That's a wonderful picture right there. You see a big procession going down a street and there's lots of triumph. Well, that's Jesus is leading us in one of those as Christian men and women. We are led in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. That's encouraging. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? And there's many times, I'm sure, in life we wonder, my goodness, am I really equal to the task that God has given to me? We are the aroma of Christ. Everywhere we go, we bring a smell. I was going to call the message something like, you smell. Or Christians are on the nose, or something like that. But I just settled for everywhere instead. I thought it was a little more palatable. But everywhere you go, you are an aroma. To some people, as a Christian, you're the smell of death. It's like, oh, whew, no, religious person. Someone is, oh, here we go, Bible basher. Oh, yeah, get away from me. And some people have that response to us, don't they? Because they've got preconceived ideas of what we believe and what we do and all of that kind of stuff. But for many other people, we're a pleasant aroma. It's like, ah, Rob Buckingham's here. You turn up in your workplace, do you smell nice or do you stink? Do people welcome you? Are they glad you're there at your school, at your university, wherever you go? What are you? Are you the aroma of Christ? Are you a pleasant smell, a nice fragrance, bringing good news and acceptance to people? Because the gospel's good news, isn't it? The gospel is God loves you and wants to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. And He wants to change your life from the inside out. That's a great message. A lot of Christians don't bring a message like that. They bring a message of exclusion. It's a bad smell. We got to bring a good fragrance everywhere we go. And that's what this passage is talking about. One of the things that my dear wife loves is fragrant candles. In fact, she likes fragrance of any sort, which is why she married me. When we first got married, I never used to wear aftershave. I didn't like perfume stuff. But that all changed. And now I love it. And I found one, and whenever I wear it, everyone, you know, go, especially at church, because you hug people a lot here, and they go, oh, that's good. What is it? And I'm not telling you, because it's mine. But Christy loves nice smells, and she loves these fragrant candles. And there are times when she'll have how many of them burning in the house at once? It's almost like there's no oxygen left, you know what I mean? It's like, candles. When you can walk in and there's like, you know, 15 or 20 of these things burning all over the house. And it's like, sometimes I feel like Mr. Bean in that scene where he's going through the fragrance department of the store. Have you seen that one? And he's walking through and he's going like this. And he's, in the end, he's crawling along the ground trying to get out of there. So I'll go around and I'll snuff some of them out and just so we can breathe again. But they are nice, you know, in moderation. And so having a couple around the house and you walk in there, it's like, ah, it's beautiful. Isn't that amazing? Just out of a little candle and you light it, you put it on, and suddenly the entire room is full of this beautiful fragrance. That is a beautiful picture of you and I when we're operating in a godly way. Wherever we go, we are the aroma of Christ. Something of you and something of your faith just happens to spread everywhere just by the very fact that you're being in that location at that particular time. The second picture of our everywhere presence is salt and light. Go across to Matthew chapter 5. Now, Jesus is just, this is at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's just been talking about virtues of Christian life. We often refer to them as the Beatitudes, and in some of your Bibles it'll actually have that heading there. And we'll just pick it up and just quickly read some of these teachings of Jesus. They start in verse 3, and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." It always reminds me of Life of Brian for some reason. And the comment to that statement is, isn't that nice? It's about time they got something, wasn't it? They will inherit the earth. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad," and this is easier said than done, "but rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then Jesus goes straight into teaching, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. The second analogy he gives is, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. As often these are taken as disjointed passages, and so people will read the Beatitudes and then stop, and then they'll read about salt and light and think that they're not connected. But they're totally connected. What Jesus is saying here is, if you live your life according to those virtues in verses 3 through 12, then you are the salt of the earth. When you live in that way, you live a salty life. And salt is influence. That's what it's typifying here in the context of this passage. It's talking about influence. Isn't it amazing how influential a small amount of salt can be? You know, you've ever made soup or you've made a particular meal and you have a little taste of it and it's just not quite there. It's almost there. All the great ingredients are in it, but just a little bit lacking. And you can take a little pinch of salt and pop it in and give it a stir and have another taste. Of, man, that's good now. That's exactly what it needed. The little bit of salt influenced the entire pot of stew or the entire pot of soup. Or influence the whole meal. You can take a meal that's quite bland and just put a little bit of salt on it and transform it completely. What a wonderful picture of Christianity in its true form. Not Christianity that's lost its saltiness, but I'm talking here genuine New Testament Christianity. I'm talking Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. People that live in that way, blessed are you. You are the salt of the earth. Whenever you go out into your environment, wherever you happen to be, you influence it everywhere you go because you're salty. And the other analogy he gives there is light. And how quickly light dispels darkness. All you need is a little candle in a room and suddenly darkness goes. See, there's actually no thing as darkness. It's just an absence of light. Wherever you put light on, there is light. Wherever you go, you're the light. In your workplace, you are the light. You might be the only Christian person in your workplace. You might be the only Christian in your class, at school or at university. You might be the only Christian mum amongst the people that you hang out with at your kids' school. But you are salt and light there if you are living as a genuine Christian according to Matthew chapter 5. And finally, beautiful feet. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. That verse is the Old Testament equivalent of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It's talking about the gospel here. That's what good news or good tidings. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. If you're the bearer of good tidings, you have beautiful feet. I was going to preach this barefoot tonight, but I decided not to because of talking about the aroma. We'll have no mean feet at Bayside Church. Everywhere you go, you have influence. It's like what God said to Joshua about the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Every place. Phenomenal promise. As he went into the promised land, everywhere where they set their feet, God gave them. It's amazing. It's like that portal again of heaven on earth. It's like, I'll have this bit, I'll have this bit, I'll have this bit, I'll have this bit. Before we bought this building, we walked around it. And we thanked God for it, and we thanked God for the provision to buy it. And it just all flowed. Everywhere we set our foot. There is something phenomenally powerful about taking land, even today. You know, and I know that there are some people who think that churches shouldn't have land and buildings and stuff like that, and invariably they'll cite it back to the early days in the New Testament when churches mainly met in homes and rented halls, and the main reason they did that was because of persecution. But as soon as persecution ended, churches started to establish themselves. I think it sends a really strong message for a church to have your own building. It talks about influence. When we bought this, we made a statement to our community. And one of the statements that we've made to our community about being here for good is actually purchasing this building. Because this says we're here for good. It has a voice to our community. You know what it's like, those of you who've been able to purchase your own home. There is an amazing sense of settledness and strength that comes in when you take land. It's the same for your business. If you have a type of business where you're able to get your own building and establish it somewhere. It is established and strong, and it's in a good place. I encourage people to get into buildings whenever you possibly can. I was talking to Phil Pringle about this a number of years ago, and he was talking to Christy and I about living a life with no regrets. And he said, you know, Rob, there's three things you got to remember. He said, make friends, build buildings, and sleep with your own wife. That was the three things. I thought that was really, really good. I went home and I said to Christy, that was great advice that Pastor Phil gave us, wasn't it? I said, make friends, build buildings. And what was the third one? And she hit me. But I think it's very, very important that we establish ourselves. And we've done that. We've made friends. We haven't isolated ourselves as a couple. We've built buildings and we've remained faithful to one another. And I think those things are very, very important. A number of years ago, I bought a house before I became married, quite a long time before I got married. I bought a house, and it was down in Cranbourn, and I lived there for about 3 years. And then I started Bayside Church, and it was a long way to drive from Cranbourn to Cheltenham, to church all the time. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I've got to be able to live closer to the church. And so in the end, he opened up this rental opportunity, and I moved into a rental house in Parkdale. But can I tell you, it was really weird feeling inside, moving from my own home back into a rental place again. It was really, really strange to me. And it was good, you know, when finally Christy and I were able to purchase our own house. I encourage you, take land wherever you can. You know, buy a house, get into the housing market. I know it's getting harder and harder and harder, but do that because that's part of the way that you become a person of influence. Beautiful feet. How beautiful on the mountains are those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring tidings, good tidings, who proclaim salvation. 3 points in conclusion. Number one, everywhere you go, you are a person of influence. Would you please get that truth into your heart and into your mind? Start every day. Lord, I'm a person of influence. I'm salt and light. I am the aroma of Christ. I have beautiful feet. I've got good news. Everywhere I go today, Lord, I'm going to be a blessing. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm going to be a blessing to the world around me. Everywhere I go, I'm going to be a person of influence. Number two, never underestimate the impact you have on those around you. That is really important. Sometimes we feel like we're not having an influence, but you are. You are having an influence on those around you. Never underestimate your impact, negatively as well as positively, and make sure your impact is a positive one. And then thirdly, God will often show you a glimpse of your influence at the point where you feel like giving up. I've certainly found that to be true myself over the years. I remember many, many years ago, and I'll finish with this story tonight, but many years ago when I was teaching RE in a primary school in Springvale, and I taught four grade six classes every Tuesday morning for 5 years, and had amazing influence in the kids. But there was different times where it was a bit hard, and I really felt like quitting on one particular occasion. And it was that day I went to the school, and this little girl came up to me, a little Asian girl, and she looked at me and she said, "Mr. Buckingham, I'm so glad you've come today, but I love coming to your lessons and hearing about God." And that's all I needed to know that I was being a person of influence amongst the 100 or so kids that I taught every Tuesday morning. The end of the story is absolutely phenomenal because this particular girl turned up here at church about 2 years ago. After a service, she came up to me and she said, "Mr. Buckingham, do you remember me?" And I said, "No, I don't think I do." She said, "Well, I was the little girl in your class that told you that I used to love coming to your class and hearing about God." She said, "My family would not allow me to accept Jesus as my Savior while I lived there." So she said, I came under my family's influence and I followed with their wishes. But she said, "As soon as I left school, I left home and I got work." And she said, "I've given my life to Jesus." And she said, "I've just come down here tonight to let you know that you had an influence on my life." Isn't that awesome? Love that. And that's just a little snapshot that God gives you. You are a man or a woman of influence. Never underestimate the impact you have on the world around you. Words for